screens up and can you read this and can you read that? How's this looking? How's that look? And then they finally click on one and boy, everything becomes sharp and clear. That's what you do for us, Lord. We pray that you would sharpen our vision this morning so that when we go out from this place, we will be better husbands and wives and fathers and grandpas and grandmas and all the rest and workers and friends and just better at living, period. Because you live, we will live also. Show us that way, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Friday had been one of the worst days, well, it had been the worst day of these ladies' lives. They witnessed the cruel parade of their Jesus being disrespected, beaten, bloodied, and then paraded through the streets of Jerusalem. The last they had seen him before this, he was never better. He was teaching in the temple courts and people were flocking to him and miracles were flowing. And remember that crowd just the week before, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, and all the excitement that had been. And there was that building of the expectation he's going to rule and reign forever. He is our king. But then Friday came and they couldn't believe their eyes or their ears. It made no sense. Things were so opposite of what they had been anticipating, what they had been expecting. They heard of his arrest. Perhaps were even part of that crowd as he stood before Pilate, as Pilate sent him off to be beaten and as he was brought back again. And they heard the crowds yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Oy. And as that whip lashed across his back, it cut through their own soul as well. They stayed near in order to support him best that they could. But they kept expecting this miracle. He's Jesus, after all. He calmed storms. He raised the dead. Surely any moment now, the angels will be breaking through the clouds and they will rescue and heal him. And if not the angels, where are the disciples? Where are all those crowds that were crying for him to become king and willing to lay their lives down in order to make that happen? Where are they? And that echo in their ears, "Crucify him." You know, it still moves me every time I read it for myself. The crowds yelled, "His blood be upon us and our children. What shall I do with this one called Jesus? Crucify him. His blood be upon us and our children." Horrified, petrified, they shuffle along with the crowd to the top of Calvary. Jesus stumbles time and again. And finally they pull somebody from the crowd and they say, you help him. Help him with that beam. The guards, they're laughing. The chief priests, they're mocking. And where are those disciples? Where are they? They had pledged their loyalty. Where are those adoring crowds that had thronged to be near him? What happened in one night's time? Oh, here's John, but he's as broken as everybody else. God, where are you? Where are you? Where's the justice in any of this? This man, Jesus, he did nothing but was good. He healed, he cared, he touched. Lord, how can this be? How can you be God? How can you be good? And this is going on. They witness as the nails are being driven. And then the cross is set in its place. There he hangs, suspended between heaven and earth. He can't help it. He groans. He cries. The pain is excruciating. And the hours, they pass so slowly. He hung on that cross for 6 full hours. Sheer torture, not just for Jesus, but for everybody who loved him. How can human beings be that cruel? How can one so righteous suffer such cruelty? The third hour he was hanging on the cross, a darkness fell over the earth, a thick, palpable darkness. Finally, Jesus cries out, and it's over. His body hangs limp. The centurion that was standing nearby thrust his spear up into Jesus' side just to make sure. He was gone. Water and blood come pouring down. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus went along. They asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Ordinarily, someone executed on the cross, their body would just be thrown on the potter's field, one last indignity for those who had been executed by the empire. The ladies followed at a distance. They wanted to mark the place where he was buried because his body deserved a proper burial. Night was coming, and so was the Sabbath. They would not be allowed, and so they could just mark the grave. He was wrapped in a sheet. He was laid in that tomb, and they remembered the paces that they took because they were planning on coming back after the Sabbath was over to love on him one last time. Traumatized, bewildered, grief-stricken, empty, lost, exhausted, they make their way home. No doubt they couldn't talk about what they saw and yet couldn't help but talk about what was on their hearts and minds. They rehearsed one lash after another, one step after the next. Tears, deep sobs, groans, questions, expressions of sorrow, headaches, nausea. They felt so sick. Somewhere, somehow, as that Sabbath ebbed away ever so slowly, they found the resolve. They discussed it among them, said, we're going to do this. We can do this. We've got to. He deserves. We need to. They pray for strength, even as they struggle to look up to God at all. One persistent nagging question dominates their thoughts. Why? Why? Lord, it makes no sense. We saw him do this. We saw him do that. He rules the world. Why? How? And how will we do this tomorrow? No one of them could do it alone. Yet perhaps together they could find the strength. I wonder if among them they didn't have a discussion and several said, I just can't, I'm sorry. And others said, that's okay. That's okay, we'll take care of it. You stay and you pray. Sunday morning finally came, but there was an earthquake. The ground shook. Perhaps they shouldn't go. No, we have to. We have to go. After such a great loss, unconcerned for their own safety at all. Have you ever stopped to think how brave these ladies were? Everything that they would have to face. You got to love the bravery of a woman, eh? Stan was sharing with us in the prayer room. They did the crosswalk yesterday, and they went over to Kohl's there in West York. Had gone from Walmart to Kohl's, and a couple security guards came up to them and said, you're going to have to leave the property. This is private property, and so on. They had finished up and everything else. And Stan said, we were very polite with them. We understood we were well within our rights to be there, but, you know, we're just being kind to the officers or whatever. The officers walked away, and a lady walked up and said, did they tell you you had to leave? Did they tell you that? You just let me know if they... I could just see the shad detectives calling for backup. We've got a mad lady on our hands here. And hightailing it out of there. You got to love the bravery of a woman. You got to love the bravery of a woman in love. When a woman loves her child and you touch that child, God help you. God help you. When when a woman loves a man and somebody is berating her husband, listen, nobody berates him but her. That's right. You don't touch him. But I love this little group of ladies, so determined, showing an act that they loved Jesus after the dream was dead. That's the part that really grips me. They had thought that he was going to be king. They had thought that they had given to, they had served for a reason and for a cause. And when it looked like that reason and cause was dead, they continued to love and they continued to serve. Didn't make sense. There was no payoff in this. What could they possibly receive in return for dressing a dead body for burial? He couldn't even say thank you. So they carry these spices and they wonder, who's going to roll that big stone away? And maybe the echo of the thought came along, where are those disciples? They pledged all this loyalty and where are they? And maybe they could have nagged the disciples into doing it, but no, they felt this call inside. They're carrying the spices, the fresh linen to wrap his body in. You know, it's been since Friday. Yeah. You know, he was pretty ripped open. Blood everywhere. He's going to stink. Yeah, I know. On they walk. Memories of what they had seen. They'd been traumatized, terrified. But on they walk. Their hearts so heavy. The dreams they'd had of his kingdom. No. What are the Roman guards? These guys were known to be rather cruel. Will they even let us near the tomb? So many questions, so many reasons to turn back. But they moved along almost involuntarily. They simply couldn't stay away. I submit to you, they felt a call. There was an attraction that they could not deny. They had to do this. It was a responsibility. Have you ever been given a sad duty to perform? Maybe you'd even said in the past, I don't know how people ever do this or that. I could never do. But now you need to. Your husband or your wife is in a condition and they need a shot or a procedure or whatever, and it's up to you to help them through this. You never pictured yourself in that situation. I kind of felt that way after my mom passed, and I found myself in that little room with the funeral director. Many of you have been there as well. I had helped other people through their grief time and given instructions on what it's going to be like and how it happens and so on. Oh, you don't know till you're there, right? Then you find yourself, and I can't. You will. There is some kind of courage, there is some kind of whatever, it's God that enables us. And so that same spirit moved these ladies along on this most desperate of days. You do what you do to honor the one you love. They loved Jesus, therefore they drug themselves along, prepping themselves for what they'd see when that rock was pulled away from the grave. But when they arrive, no guards. The stone has been rolled back. The tomb is empty. Oh, somebody stole his body. It didn't seem like it could get any worse, but now it's worse. What are we going to do now? Who would do such a stinking thing? They scatter to look around for clues. Is this even the right place? Did they get it right? But then an angel appears and tells them that he's not dead but risen. Go tell his disciples he is risen and has gone ahead of them. We'll meet them in Galilee. They are beside themselves. Verse 8 tells us, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. I can picture them running in circles for a little while. And, whoa, which way? And, oh, wait, did we just hear? Did we just see or not? Confused, because as human beings, it takes us a little while to get our bearings about us and to go from one mode to another. And this had been the saddest day of their life, and now they can't hardly believe what's going on. Have you ever been there where you can't put the pieces together? This doesn't make, the room begins to spin, and you can't get your bearings, and you hardly know, you can't walk a straight line. There's a term that people that study these things came up with, emodiversity. Emodiversity, it talks about the diversity of emotions that a person can go through. Walking with Jesus is a very emotional experience. I think for a long time the church tried to take the emotion out of salvation and everything else. You can't do that. You can't. Walking with God is an emotional experience. And emodiversity talks about the highs and the lows. And they tell us that in order to experience greater highs, you actually have to experience greater lows. And the more you have bottomed out in life, the more capacity you have. You would think, no, I have been traumatized. I have been, life just stinks. Let's eat worms and die. No. When you have been through the valley of the shadow of death, when you have been in the very pit of grief, you actually have a greater capacity for joy and for living. It doesn't feel that way at the time. I'll never get out of this pit. I'll never get over this. I'll never laugh again. Boy, does the Lord know how to set up a scene or what? I wonder if one or two of the ladies wasn't a little bit ticked at God. I wonder if one of them didn't slap Jesus and say, oh, you knew you were going to rise the whole time, and you let us suffer there all day yesterday. We were in tears the whole day, and then here you are, you're doing just fine. Oh, let me get a hold of you. Now, that probably didn't happen, but I can imagine a little bit of that. But all the joy. When they thought they'd never see him again. When they thought all was lost. It says there in verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet. They just held on for dear life, and they worshiped him. Oh, what a scene, what a day. Oh, what a glorious day indeed. Hallelujah. Are we dreaming? No, this is real. Here he is. They're not able to think big thoughts. They're not able to put the pieces together. Oh, there's going to be a church around the world now. This is going to be great. No, all they know is the one they loved was dead, and now here he is alive. And they're still trying to confirm that this is really happening in their own minds. Yet there is joy to it all. A very real, ready to pop kind of a joy, ready to jump out of their skins. And I'm thinking Jesus was every bit as excited to see them as they were to see him. He was celebrating with them. These are the ones who were chosen to celebrate first. These ladies, these brave souls, these ones that stepped out of the dark, the ones that overcame the fear, the trauma. I can picture him dancing with them on that day. And they'll never be sad like that again, no matter what. This is real. I've experienced it myself in my own life. I've carried the burden of my sin. I've felt the weight of guilt on my life. I've feared hell itself swallowing me whole because of being such a guilty soul. And then I met Jesus. And I felt the lifting of all of that guilt and sin and filth. I felt clean, whole, holy, because I met Jesus. Let your trauma lead you to the joy of discovery. This is real. This isn't a philosophy. This isn't a rule to live by. If you follow these steps, you'll be a happier person. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Sure, he did. But something happens when you open up your heart and you invite Jesus in to be your Savior and your Lord. The lights come on and everything changes. Have you been there? There are a lot of people, they go to church, they go through form, they follow a script, but they never actually open that door and say, Jesus, won't you come in and take over? I surrender now. I give up. We've got a lot of people, they still want to captain their own ship. They still want to control the rudder. But Jesus, you're welcome on board to help me. I could use some more money. And you know my lumbago is acting up again. And you know the kids, they need this and that. But they never really step away from the wheel and say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you from now on. I'm going to surrender all. This is my moment. This is my day. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me just for a moment? I'm wondering if there's anybody here this morning that feels convicted that way. You know what? I need to surrender to the Lord. Maybe first time, maybe the 100th time. But you're not where you need to be with God. And things could be made right in a moment's time when we surrender. Anybody here with everybody's eyes closed and just slip up a hand and say, preacher, remember me in your closing prayer. Or not even before me, just before God. God, I raised my hand this morning. I want you. I need you. From this moment on, I follow you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Lord, I follow you from this moment on. I invite you in. Lord, I give you my all. I surrender. Anybody else? Join those who have. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Any others? Would you pray this prayer after me? It's not the words, it's not an incantation, but the meaning you put from your heart that makes a difference. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming and dying on the cross just for me. Please forgive me of all my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And Father, I pray for all of us because we all make commitments. And we all get tested. Lord, help us to get better at the tests as time goes on. That we can prove not only to you but to ourselves that we have indeed crossed over from death to life. That we're a different person than we were yesterday. That we feel compelled to serve like those ladies did on their way to the tomb. There may be some scary moments. There may be some that stand against us like the guards around the tomb. Nevertheless, may we have a conviction deep in our hearts that we are now the children of God and there's no turning back. No turning back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me?